To be organic means you don't use some chemicals.
We're talking products, parent,
and we don't use also
only
some products that comes inside the vine. It's just on the surface of the leaves or on the grapes, and we just use sulfur and copper.
Explain to them why sulfur is potentially a winemaker's best friend. Sulfur. Is that true or not?
Alors, you mean sulfur?
SO2.
Ah, no. Alors, you have two kinds of sulfur.
Okay.
You have SO2 that we will use in the winemaking.
Mm-hmm.
Alors. And you have sulfur that we use in the vineyards to protect against some diseases like mildew or oidium. The SO2, I use a small SO2, it exists, natural sulfur.
It naturally in the soil.
In the grapes. So in the wine.
I know, but in talking about that, all these natural wine people say they're trying to get away from sulfur, but sulfur is there whether you add it or it's there just naturally, correct?
Absolutely. So there is a confusion. Now people are talking about natural wines. Natural wines for me means you do nothing. You leave the grapes moving, doing the fermentation, the alcoholic fermentation, moving in alcohol and CO2. And after in the élevage, you do nothing. You leave on these, and you bottle without adding some SO2.
Yes.
Without adding you just have the SO2, the sulfates contained in the grapes.
Yes.
With the global warming and with the high potential of maturity, you can do natural wines with wine that you don't age in oak and that you will drink very quickly. Because if we try to do that here, or in a certain wine region, some Rhône Valley, etc., you have a very great risk, a big risk, to go on phenolic components, not good, especially with one kind of yeast called Brettanomyces. You've heard about that?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they don't know what Brettanomyces is. Explain that.
Alors, Brettanomyces is a kind of yeast. It's a family of yeast. We use Saccharomyces cerevisiae. We use this family of yeast, or the good family, the good yeast. But sometimes, with the global warming, with a high level of alcohol, some Brettanomyces contained in grapes, contained in took the place of the Saccharomyces cerevisiae. And after that, you can have some very phenolic.
Musty.
Alors, some people will say, oh, this is the taste of the terroir.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And that's
default. It's a default.
Yeah.
And the very specific taste of Brettanomyces is a stable.
Yeah.
When we smell, you enter in a stable, it's really typical and very phenolic, very reduction, very, the nose is awful. It's typical for Brettanomyces, very strong. Yeah?
But so, Andrew will sell you that bottle anyway.
But Anne, you know what I really like about your wines, and I've always, from the first time I taste them, they smell so fresh.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it just has a great nose on it. And no, you know, sometimes you can smell a wine and know it's kind of like there's nothing on the nose, but your wines always smell fresh to me.
Alors, in fact, fruit for me is the base of the wine. Fruit is the base of the wine. In a red wine, you need three elements. Fruit, muscles, the base of the wine, and tannin and acidity are the skeleton of the wine. But fruit, we make wine with fruit, with grapes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the wine should drink and should taste, should smell fruit first. After, you can have different aromas behind or with fruit. But the fruit should be the base of the wine for every wine, not from, only from Burgundy. So this wine is a Montely. Montely is a small village located between Volnay and Meursault. 90% is red. It's a Montely, so village level, not a premier cru. It's a blend of two different vineyards. It's also distemped, 100%. It's aged in 30% French oak barrels. But you will have a very nice finesse in this wine. It's lighter. Sometimes you can feel it's lighter than the Bourgogne.
When was your first vintage of this?
Montely. In fact, my father created the company in 1974 to buy his cousin's production, who was in Montely. Oh, okay. Her fathers were brothers. But his cousin was not a wine grower, so my father created the company to buy Montely, Montely Premier Cru, Volnay Premier Cru, some other Pomard. So that's why also we have this appellation for a very long time. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not our own vineyard. Huh?
Yes.
So that's why the label is called Jacques Parent, which is the company, the name, my father's name, but also the company which buy the grapes. And okay. Domaine Parent the wines from the estate.
So after 12, 13, 14, how was the vintages starting with 15? Because we've had your 15 many times and it's been wonderful.
Alors, we had a bottle of Les Epenaux, Magnum of Les Epenaux 2015 on Saturday. And 15 opens more and more. And 15 is also a... it was a bling-bling vintage. It was very bling-bling, very high, very...
they like bling-bling over here.
It was very bling-bling. I mean, it was very girly or I don't know. It was very... people rushed. People rushed on 15, really.
Yeah.
People rushed on 15 because 15 was also an amazing vintage.
15 and 17 were very good. I feel like in South Africa, anyways, but I know we're talking about.
In South Africa, 15 and 17?
Yes.
15 was up 17 here, but 15, why people were very excited by 15? Because it was a great vintage everywhere in France.
Nice.
Champagne, Rhône Valley, Bordeaux, Languedoc, etc., etc. So, of course, when you talk about a vintage, some people, but what is the problem is for me, it's a pity because most of the 15 are already drunk.
Done.
And we had this Magnum of Les Epenaux 15 on Saturday, and I said, okay, they open more and more. They are fantastic now. They open more and more. 16 is a little bit closed now, and 17 in Burgundy is a charming vintage with a great selection. Ready to drink right now. Perfect to drink time. Perfect to enjoy right now.
Okay, what do we got? What are we going to next?
Alors, next. We will have
Which one?
The
you talking about this?
Yeah.
That's like an old milk thing that you used to use back in the day. Yeah. That's not that. You guys are. Some of you guys are too young to remember the milkman delivering milk to the door. Ari, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. You can buy in some wine shop.
Yeah.
You can buy one like this.
How are you going to get it back to San Pablo? Oh, okay. San Pablo. It might as well be Pablo, right? Don't San Pablo sound better than San Paulo?
So now... Now we will test three different premier crus of Pomard. Same vintage, 2020, same appellation Pommard, same level, premier cru, but three different terroirs. About the same winemaking.
Of course. About the same winemaking. So you will see really the difference of expression in the terroir. Alors, now we taste Pommard premier cru, les Champlain.
It's always tragic.
Yeah. And does he look like he left anything going to waste over here? No.
Alors, I will show you on a map where it is.
All right. So we're enjoying 2020 Premier Cru Pommard from. It's pronounced less.
Champlain.
Shauna.
Shauna.
Let me see.
How do you get Shauna out of that?
Shauna. So.
Shauna.
So this is a map of Pommard.
That's a tough one though. Shauna.
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 She says Shauna. She says Shauna.
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 Where's the A?
L is silent. Shauna.
Okay. As we continue, Anne's going to show us what general area of Pommard this wine is from. Okay, we're still on the podcast. Hey guys, we're still on the podcast. Pay attention. I told you guys to build your best behavior.
So Pablo's butt's in the way of the wine.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is a map of Pommard. So Pommard.
He said yes.
Pommard, you have 28 different Pommard. And you know what is in dark, in this color, is classified in premier cru. What is in pink is classified in village level. So now we test this one, Pommard premier cru et Champlain. Very close Volnay, limestone soils, young vines, 18 years old vines. Alors, what is important to understand Pommard is you have only two parts. Two parts, you know, between Pommard and Volnay. One of the best known premier cru on this part is Les Rugiens. Rugiens means red, because you have...
How do we spell Rugiens?
Rugiens. R-U-G-I-E-N-S.
Rugiens.
Rugiens.
Okay.
And Rugiens comes from red.
Okay.
So you have brown clay and with a touch of iron oxide, so that's why it's a dark color. Land, but Les Champlain is more limestone.
Mm-hmm.
On this part, the wines are very, you know,
masculine,
classic,
kind of
classic pyramid. The feet in the earth, the base is very solid in structure, and more you have in mouth, more you have the finesse, the elegance, and the complexity.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use some comparisons. So if it's a sport, it will be. American football player or a hockey player.
And this is outstanding.
And if it's a car, it will be a Porsche.
Ooh. You hear that, Pablo?
We're drinking Porsche.
Did you taste it yet? She said if the wine here was a car, it would be a Porsche.
Yes, a Porsche. On the other side, between Pommard and Beaune, the best known is Les Épenaux, les grands Épenaux or les petits Épenaux. The largest part of premier cru. Here, the wines are like an opposite pyramid. The finesse, the elegance, and the complexity, and after, the body, the structure, and the long finish of the wine. Here, if it's a sport, it will be a golf player.
It would be a what?
Golf player.
Tiger Woods.
Oh, golf player. Because you have a little golf game yourself, right?
I love to play golf.
I know.
This is my second favorite.
She says she's like a single handicap over there.
You're what?
Eight.
Whoa.
Wheat.
Okay.
This is the golf player. And for me, Les Epenaux is really the golf player. And if it's a car, it will be Aston Martin.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah.
Both have the power, the density, the force. Both have the elegance, the complexity, the sensuality, but it doesn't express on the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sole Chana, I love this this wine because it has an energy, it's a light wine, solar wine.
It's dark, much more dark, I think.
Yes, absolutely, but it's normal because this one is aged in French oak barrels, 18 months, and you have 45% new French oak in this way. And always a touch of spicy in mouth.
Yes. So how do you determine the length of time you want an aged wine in new French oak and then move it to second or third? What goes into that process?
Alors, you know, oenology is a science. Winemaking is an art.
Okay.
So I will determine, it's my own feeling and my own understanding of the vintage and the wine and the vineyard. Some vintages you can age the wines. I will stop my explain and be back after. But some of my colleagues, for example, they say, I don't know, we don't like new oak, so we just use 20% of the oak.
Yes.
Why 20, not 25, not 15, and it's ridiculous. I will tell you, I use a certain proportion of new oak according the level of the appellation and the vintage. Some vintages, I will go lower proportion of new oak. Some vintages, I will go upper because the vintage will integrate very well oak. 2020, one month after pouring the wines in barrels.
No, nothing.
You don't taste the wood.
Okay.
We tasted on Friday 22 in barrels. Perfect. So you can be 100% oak. You don't feel the oak. And sometimes you will be 20% and you will feel the oak.
The oak more than you do.
Absolutely.
You adapt.
You absolutely. Mm-hmm. We adapt. And we adapt with the structure of the grapes, the components of the grapes, and the vintage, etc., etc., the acidity, the maturity, etc. And sometimes, of course, we adapt also compared with the level of quality. We don't put new oak on a Bourgogne, but Corton Grand Cru can be 100% new oak.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel it.
No, it's fantastic.
Because also we do a long élevage. If we put a wine on a short élevage with new oak, of course the oak can dominate, push down the wine. But same, you have to really understand what type of wine you want also, and but it's not a question of proportion of new oak. When people say, oh no, I don't like new oak, we just do 20%, for me, that makes sense. It can be too much, 20% can be too much, and sometimes to be higher in new oak will give to the wine more oxygenation, will give to the wine more complexity about the aromas and the structure, and the tannin of wood and the tannin of wine will be all together,
mm-hmm.
and will change the structure of tannin of the wine. This combination, this alchemy between the new oak and the wine will change the feeling and the structure of the wine.
I love this one. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is... So, the future as you looking down the road for Domaine Perron, is it looking pretty good? Right? You have any new or exciting anything you're doing different down the road as far as for your winery or anything?
Alors,
I have to learn.
Yeah, 4:30.
I would like to change my cuvée and to buy some new concrete vat.
You know,
like the same as Cheval Blanc in Bordeaux.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but
Cheval Blanc. You saying Cheval Blanc?
The same concrete vat.
Yeah, the same concrete vat.
Yeah.
You know, we were just left the place, and they have now. What was it? Stainless steel barrels now. That was my first time ever seeing it.
I've never
seen
them before.
For the white wine.
And then where were we at? In Champagne, and they're using the M4s there.
Hello. I will try for the next vintage some concrete bowls.
Bowls, yes.
For whites.
Uh-huh.
Not on porous.
Not M4s.
Concrete bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Not eggs.
Not eggs.
Really bowls.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
Sphere. For me, a barrel in stainless steel.
I don't
what
know.
What is interest?
I have
they
no idea.
They add some freshness, but they only do a few of those, and then they blend it with the wood barrel wine. So they said it adds a little bit of freshness.
No, but it is the size and the form of a barrel.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it looks exactly like
size.
A 228 barrel.
Or
so. Why using a classic vat and no? What I know is mostly of the Bordeaux Grand Château. They are back to concrete vat for the reds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to have the same concrete vat. It comes from Italy, but
yeah. But I was in Saint-Emilion they like putting the Cap Franc in concrete vats in Saint-Emilion.
Interesting. I haven't seen that before.
She's
so
like,
cool. And they're probably a lot cheaper though.
And with that, you have no oxygenation.
No.
Nothing.
No.
So between a vat in a stainless steel vat, and this one, I don't know the interest. I don't understand the interest of that.
And Florida golf. You have to come.
Where is it?
Florida.
Oh, I played in Boca Raton.
Yes.
Boca Raton.
That's where we live.
Ah, I played.
Yeah.
At the golf, yes.
Where?
Many years ago.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was beside famous hotel. Just
the Boca Resort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
I played there too.
That's right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture of you. I'm taking a picture of me taking the wine. Yes.
This is just by the Boca Resort.
Okay. Oh, I would love to. I played
I'll
in
have
a
just a little bit more.
Oh, sorry. I played in in Las Vegas.
Oh, you did. You recall what course in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas, I played in Huntington. Huntington in Tennessee. In Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Not in Huntington, in the beach. So this one is Poma.
Where do you play here?
Now here we have five different golf courses.
Oh, okay.
One is in Bonn.
Yeah.
But you know, very silly.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot in the south of France.
Yeah.
And when I have the opportunity to travel, I like to play.
Yeah.
But I have not enough time to play more. That's why I want to retire, because I want to play.
Who's
going to
take over as the one? Who's going to run
this
job?
Is a good question.
Yeah.
This
you can retire, yes.
In fact, my daughter, I just have one daughter. So she doesn't want to be a winemaker, and I know I'm wrong. In fact, you know, we had my son-in-law was my chef de culture, and was working with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was designed as to be a régisseur for the future.
A what?
A régisseur, manager.
Manager.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
To
okay.
look after the estate. So.
Okay, yes.
And unfortunately, he died 5 months from cancer.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Very
5 months from
20,
what?
29 years old.
Oh, that's very sad.
29 years old. My daughter was 28 and they had a little boy.
Oh, wow.
My grandson was 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it changed the plan.
Yeah,
the
plan.
We did. And now my daughter has a new companion, a new partner. And
oh, your sister.
My daughter.
Your
she
daughter
has a new partner. And she has also a new baby.
Oh, okay.
A granddaughter.
So you have a new, you have another grandchild.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he good in the wine world?
I don't know. He's not
he's pretty young right now, aren't he?
Yeah.
But you know, my daughter, she...
No, the husband. The compagne.
No, she is not...
He's not
at all. They live in Switzerland and they don't want...
Oh.
He doesn't want to be a winemaker. He likes to drink wine.
He doesn't mind drinking it, right? Okay, so...
So they live there and now... And my sister, she has... three children. The oldest comes from, she spent 5 years in Hong Kong. She worked with Fee Coffee. Have you heard about Fee Coffee? Fee Coffee is a company which sells very, very expensive wines to very, very rich people.
Oh, okay.
The biggest supplier for Petrus and Romane Conti.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And the DRC has some part in the company.
Mm-hmm.
So she just come back from Hong Kong. She's working with us for 6 months now to see what happened, to do a kind of audit also.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother, who is younger, is a decorator in Paris, but he's very interested in wine and in the wine business and in the wine here in the estate. He comes every year to help me in the harvest, in the winemaking for harvest, etc. So I think in the next few years we will have also a manager just to do the between me and I will follow. I will continue.
So like a vineyard manager.
Well, yeah. I will continue to be here, but not every day.
And yet, of course.
And after they will, my sister's children will take over the management of the estate. But of course, I will continue to have a look to train also to train people to about wine making, etc. So that's good.
I'm familiar with this.
Oui, absolutely. Pommard Premier Cru Les Chaponnières is located so down Les Rugiens. Old vines, 82 years old vines.
Yes.
Here. Located here. So old vines,
mm-hmm.
82 years old vines. Les Chaponnières has always a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
So, same vintage, 2020. The soils are marred. And very fine clay, and I love the balance of this wine, never mind the vintage.
I love the balance of it also, I think it's very nice. I'm going to get photos from you ladies because my phone's on something else right now. Very nice, very soft and elegant also. Awesome.
Mm. All of these wines have been amazing, across the board.
Very elegant, a nice freshness, right tannin at the end. You can age this wine, of course, 15 years.
Yes.
The only problem is trying to be able to resist to the temptation.
To drink them?
I have the same problem with, I'm a great fan of Côte Rôtie Hermitage.
Oh yeah, I love Côte Rôtie. That's one of my favorite areas too, yeah.
But when we do some dinners at home, my hand is always going to the cellar to take a bottle of Côte Rôtie, and sometimes...
Your hand?
I don't...
Stop
it. It's too young. I would love to drink a bottle of Côte Rôtie, so...
So Chaponnière has always this kind of very elegant and very great seduction, also very seductive, very charming one always.
Ça c'est le blanc.
I just think it's elegant, the finesse is outstanding, it's very, very nice. So, what's the issue? Is your wine still getting to the USA as far as being imported?
Oh, we are very present in USA. 27
But the
states.
Wine store that we go, that you know, at Wine Watch with Andrew, we have not seen your wine.
We work with Terroir of Florida.
Oh, terroir.
Yes.
Selections, yeah.
Terroir selections.
Oh, I know them very well. So, okay, I understand that.
And,
yeah, exactly. You know, I know who to go to.
Just go to Terroir Selections?
No, all right. No, you have to go to the lady, like, the lady, one of the people, I think, is Allison. That's with Terroir. I know who it is.
And you can find also our wines with Monsieur de Floride, David de Benedictis. Do you know her, him?
No.
Damn. Damn.
Okay, so he says you are in Chicago at Benny's. Benny's in Chicago?
No, not anymore. We work with Fine Vines.
Fine Vines?
Fine Vines.
Yeah, you know Fine Vines too.
George Molitor, mm-hmm. And we are at the Knightsbridge Wines. Knightsbridge.
I've heard of that. I've not been.
Yeah.
Have you been, you like Chicago? You've been to Chicago?
Oh yes, the Windy City.
Huh?
And
other stuff. It's kind of like a flipping drink.
And five years ago, mm-hmm. I came in Chicago, it was minus...
Oh, you went at the wrong time.
20,
you went at the wrong time. You only accept trips to Chicago when June, July, August, September. After that,
I
don't know.
It's
minus
18 Celsius. That's say the 38 wrong.
Say Les Epineaux.
Les Epineaux.
Minus 18.
Minus 18 Celsius.
Oh, I love this one.
Alors, Les Epineaux. Pommard premier cru Les Epineaux. Is...
Yeah, this is Les Epineaux?
Epineaux.
Yeah, we're familiar with this.
Les Epineaux is a blend of Les Grands Epineaux. This is the most sophisticated chronique of Pommard.
Can you start over on that again? I didn't get that.
It deserves to be a Grand Cru. Uh-huh. And we are trying to upgrade Les Epineaux and Les Rugins Grand Cru, but it will take 12, 15 years.
But is there's no Grand Crus from Pommard, right?
Alors, historically.
Historically. Okay. Allegedly. Allegedly. Okay, go ahead.
In 1936, when the French organization decided to officialize the classification in Burgundy, they came to every village and they said in Pommard, it would be Les Rugins and Les Epineaux. Both Grand and Petit.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1936, some people said, oh, we agree with that. And some others were afraid to be in Grand Cru because you had to pay a lot of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The average yield was lower, of course, like Grand Cru.
Wow.
And also people said, oh, we don't know, yes, perhaps, we don't know. So the French organization said, okay, so just discuss all mm-hmm. together. And we will be back when you will be ready to officialize in Grand Cru.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody took took this demand.
Took the offer.
People stayed in their estate and stayed in their position to say yes or no. Nobody asked again. 6 years ago, we did an official demand, and we presented the official demand. So it took us 2 years to prepare the official demand, because you need to. We employed a geologist.
A survey.
Absolutely, to do all the research about prices, historic. So we don't know yet.
Okay.
And the same story was in Côte de Nuit in 1936. The same story arrived, was also in a family. This family owned a monopole, so a piece of land.
Yeah, they know what monopole is.
Monopole. Mm-hmm. In the middle of Romane, beside Romane Conti, Latache, and Romane Saint-Livre.
DRC, yeah.
And this family so had this monopole. And so the owner had, in 1936 said, no, I don't want to be a Grand Cru. I can sell my wine the same price as a Grand Cru. I am the only owner, so nobody, I have no competition with the others, so I'm not interested to be a Grand Cru because I had to pay taxes, so it was a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm alone, so no, I don't want to be a Grand Cru. His grandson asked to upgrade.
Hmm. Asked to what?
To upgrade.
Oh, okay.
It was the premier cru, and he asked to upgrade this piece of land in Grand Cru. It took him 13 years. And it's La Grand Rue from the La Marche family.
The
piece La Grand Rue.
Yes.
From La Marche family. Is classified now in Grand Cru, but it was the same story as us, same period, same story. So Les Epenaux, a blend of Les Grands and Les Petits Epenaux. The only difference between Les Chaponniers and Les Chandins is you have more new oak in this one.
This is outstanding. I love it.
Gorgeous. I've loved everyone we've had so far. I gotta say, across the board, no complaints.
So, do you have a, are you winemaker and cellar master, or both, or no?
Me?
You.
I'm everything. Winemaker, owner.
Yeah, I know
you. Winemaker, wine grower, cellar master, export manager, a counter.
I love it. You're like me, but I can see all your passion. It comes out of the wine. Clean the jars.
You know, in Burgundy, what is really special in Burgundy is mostly of the time, you will meet the owner, which is the winemaker and the wine grower. In Bordeaux, you have, in Champagne also, you have chef de cave, the owner you never see.
Chef de cave.
You never see that chef de cave.
Yeah, that was the guy, Rounard, that came. He was chef de cave, yeah.
You will never see the owner, Bernard Arnault, never.
No.
You see the chef de cave. You will never see the chef de culture, the man who was in charge of the vineyards, etc. So, in Burgundy, mostly of the time, you can meet the owner, which is the maître de chai, or the cellar master, or the winemaker, the wine grower, etc. This is a big difference.
Yeah.
Les Epenaux for me has really this kind, it's the high fashion of Pommard. I would love to call it Pommard Hermès, but they will not allow me to... They are 30 years old. Because, yes, but it's old for them. And for us, it will be young. But for them, it's old. So old vines, as for me, has not a definition, a clear definition.
Yeah. It can be,
but you have to think between Burgundy and Champagne and Alsace and Machin. And in Burgundy, 50 years is very common.
Okay.
82 years like Les Chaponnières is beginning to be rare.
So in the interest of a little time from me doing the podcast here, and we're talking to Ann Perrin, a domain. Ann Perrin, her and her sister owns the domain, and it's beautiful wines. All of them are great. Are we going to do one more wine, or we're done, or what?
We have a white.
Well, I know how you roll, because she likes pouring the red wines first and then bringing the white wine to refresh your palate. I got about 5% left on my battery right here, so we're going to work that out.
You have a cord? You can use my little thing.
I know, but I had to plug that into my slot.
It's very bad. Yeah.
I know.
And then no signal, so it runs quicker.
So we will rinse your glass.
Oh yeah, you're
going to rinse. You gotta drink your rinse. Nobody's rinse. Pouring that out.
It's rosé. It's pommard rosé.
No, you drink that.
No, you rinse your glass with rosé.
Which one are you pouring right now,
man? It's a Montelie white.
Okay, Montelie white.
2020, sorry.
For a minute, I thought you was pouring the Cortone. That's why I was telling them not to sleep. Yeah, no, we wouldn't do that. Yeah.
The problem with Cortone is we... So Montelie, as I said, a less known appellation. Now, this wine is very rare because Montelie, as I said, is, is 90% red, just 10% of white, so rare.
How many bottles you make for white wine?
5,000.
5,000.
But this wine is a lovely wine you can enjoy with or without food.
I don't think I've ever had this wine.
C'est très bien.
But we sell
most. Trade.
School of humility.
Yes, school of humility.
Yes, school of humility.